Shadows and Sacred Pages, Finding Harmony in the Gospel Accounts. Questions about the Gospels often rise from the floor in the quiet corners of an old stone church, where candlelight dances across weathered walls and incense lingers. Are there contradictions in the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four windows into one radiant life, each framed differently but with the same light. It's like stained glass catching the same sun and throwing 100 colors across the floor when we sit with them in the soft glow of evening. The Gospels don't pretend to be identical reports. They are living portraits, each shaped by the heart and purpose of its writer. Matthew writes with a deep sense of ancient promises fulfilled. Mark writes with an urgency, almost breathless, as if the story itself can't wait. Luke gathers careful details with the tenderness of a doctor who's listened to a lot of voices. Four voices, one Lord, in a quiet room of meaning. Same face, different angles. Consider the accounts of the empty tomb. One gospel mentions one angel, another mentions two. One says the women arrive in the dark, another at dawn. These details don't cancel each other out. They sit together like the way dawn arrives in stages, the deep blue, the silver edge, then the gold. There were different eyes, different moments of the same morning. The women came. The stone rolled away. The tomb was empty. The messengers spoke. Despite the edges catching the light in their own way, the heart of the story remains steady. Look at the cross. One account contains the cries of abandonment. Another contains the quiet words of forgiveness and the last moment of rest. They all come together to make a complete picture of the one who carried both sorrow and certainty. The Gospels don't force every word into a single line. They let the full range of that sacred hour be heard, like a choir does by letting different voices rise and fall, without losing the music. Several times the multitudes get fed, but the numbers are different and the details are different. 5,000, 4,000 baskets left over. There's nothing to compete with. It's just repeated mercies, different days when the same hands fed hungry crowds. It's never about the exact math. It's about the abundance that meets needs, the compassion that multiplies what's offered, and the quiet authority that feeds both body and soul. One gospel puts the cleansing of the temple at the beginning, another at the end. That's not a contradiction. It might simply reflect the way memory and meaning work together. Some writers follow a timeline. Others gather moments based on what they want to emphasize. Depending on the light the writer chooses to shine, an act of righteous anger against empty religion can stand at the start or near the end of a ministry. The act is true no matter where it appears. When we read with patience instead of suspicion, we start to notice the differences less like cracks and more like the natural texture of real testimony. Each person can see different flowers, different paths of light through the leaves, different birds when they walk through the same garden at the same hour. The garden was real. The walk happened. The beauty still exists. Their reports won't match word for word, but none of them have lied. Christian Gothic comes down to this. We don't have to align all the shadows perfectly for the light to work. The Gospels invite us into mystery without demanding we figure it out before we believe. They're not court transcripts. They're living witnesses. In a quiet chapel with just a single high window as the only light, apparent tensions become invitations to look closer, to listen longer. In the beginning, early Christians didn't seem to mind the variations. They copied them, shared them, treasured them side by side. Throughout the centuries, the church has kept all four, refusing to flatten them into one smooth account. That choice speaks for itself. In harmony, you don't have to be the same. As a cathedral holds both deep shadows and bright glass, unity can hold difference. We can answer the question calmly and confidently when it comes up again, as it often does in the long nights of the soul. The Gospels don't contradict the central truth they carry. They enrich it. They give us a better view of the one who walked dusty roads, spoke with authority, suffered with love, and rose while the world slept. There are differences and contradictions, but they're not. When we step closer and let the pages speak for themselves, what looks like conflict often becomes complementary. It's the Gospels that end up leading us to Christ, the living one. It's not a perfect photograph of every moment, but the presence that still meets us in the quiet places, still speaks through ancient words, still fills the shadows with light that no darkness can stop. It's not about winning an argument. It's about knowing the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, even though his story is told in four different and wonderful ways. In the silence of the stone walls, the candles keep burning, and the pages don't close. The answer doesn't lie in forced agreement on every detail, but in the steady, living harmony that's always been there for those with eyes to see and hearts willing to open.